Good evening, everyone. I'm Patty Kuyum Jun, and I'd like to continue the executive office report that I started earlier today. And I'd like to talk about some of the issues of concern to the Hinkley community. A lot has changed, I think, and a lot of, since the last time the board was in the community. A lot of progress, I think, has been made. We've issued a cleanup and abatement order, I have, regarding delineation of the plume. We've issued a number of investigative orders, and I think we've had some good sessions with the community, PG&E, and the regional board to work through issues like the background study, to talk about the manganese pollution in the community and other areas. So what I'd like to do is have some of my staff come up and update you on pieces of it. So I'm going to ask Mike Plasiak to come up to walk you through the cleanup and abatement order to define the plume. And then following Mike, I'm going to ask Lori Kemper, our assistant executive officer, to come up to talk about the investigative orders as well as other activities underway. I'd also like to take this opportunity to introduce Gita Kapai from the State Board, who will be helping facilitate the discussion. So if you have any questions, Gita will help us with that. Thank you.
Good evening, Board Chair, Board members, and public. I'm Mike Plasiak, supervising geologist with the La Hunt Water Board in the Victorville office. I'm going to talk about the CAO that was just issued here on January 8th. Before I do, just a public announcement. If anybody lost some cash just before the meeting started, please see me after the meeting. That's not a joke, but just a quick public announcement here. So can you all hear me? All right. So, to get on to the draft CAO was issued out on July 25th, and then it was revised again on October 25th, and it had three components. First component was to get the well owner on well 34-65, domestic well, whole house replacement water program. That's the location of the well right there. And also to allow for plume expansion out to 1,000 feet out in the eastern part to allow for increased injection of for treatment, I should say, at a higher injection rate. And also the third thing was to define the vertical nautical extent of the plume. This map here came out of that draft CAO, so it should be familiar for those that saw that. I'm going to talk about the order that was put out on January 8th, the executive officer signed, that the first two items that I just mentioned, the whole house replacement water for well 34-65, is no longer needed, so we removed that from the order that went out because they are on whole house replacement water. So that's not necessary now. Second thing is as far as the plume expansion. Given what we are seeing recently with magnesium out to the, or I should say manganese, out to the western part of the, or other parts of the valley there, it's prudent for us at this time to take that requirement out until we have a better understanding of what's going on. That dovetails into what this order is all about. This is all about plume definition. And for this, we've got two components. The first one is looking at domestic wells. We know that there are people that have hexavalent chromium in their domestic wells. They're outside of PG&E's boundary. They're not getting whole house replacement water. What we wanted to be able to do in target areas, and those are the light green, if you will, areas here, have domestic wells sampled for hexavalent chromium. We want to see trend analysis. What we want to see, though, is not go through the normal quarterly sampling regimen that we typically see with the monitoring wells, but for those domestic wells, for the next 6 months, starting in March 15th, to start sampling in those target areas once a month. The purpose behind that is to get some data quickly, give us enough data to statistically look at their trends. Trends upward or downward in those wells. Once we've got that information, then we can have the basis technically to step out and ask for additional monitoring wells. And also to give the residents of those homes that have those wells an indication if trend is going upwards. It's a whole different thing than just to get concentration data that come to you in a lab report once a quarter. It's another thing to actually have some analysis that goes with it, so they can use that information. The other component of this is to also look at gaps. There are gaps where we need monitoring wells, so dedicated monitoring wells. We looked at north of Salinas Road, north of Sonoma Road. Those are targeted areas. I'm going to go to this. This map kind of shows that. But in the northern part of the plume boundary, and also out to the east near Dixie Road, we know that we've got some monitoring wells that have gaps of over a quarter of a mile. So with this order, we're asking for PG&E to fill those gaps in. This, again, like I said earlier, dovetails into that uncertainty that we have of what's going on. We've got, you know, other constituents that we're starting to see pop up in wells. To put monitoring wells in areas we have gaps is prudent. It makes a lot of sense. The other thing that I want to bring to your attention from this order, for both the domestic well sampling and for the additional monitoring well sampling, we're expecting to see a work plan that's going to encompass that work by February 22nd. It's very aggressive. We'll get that information, and then they can start to go on out there and start drilling. And again, March 15th, they should be able to go out sampling in those target areas for those domestic wells. Last part of this, and of course, once you've gotten data, we need to see a report. October 30th of this year, we'll see the report come in. We've asked them and we've targeted them to look at, not just give us data and a map with a plume boundary, but also some of the things that we haven't been seeing in some of the core reports, we want to start focusing on. That is groundwater velocities, groundwater direction. Those things should be on the plume maps. Some of the basic hydrogeologic information that you would expect to see. And also, with that report, we expect to see some recommendations for additional monitoring wells, in particular, where there are domestic wells that are showing an upward trend. This will help us, particularly with those people that live far to the north that are having this. And that's and to one part of clarification, I know the map shows just as part of the Hinckley Gap, or I should say a water valley, but we're not just stopping at the end of this map. We expect if you have hexavalent chromium in your well up in those areas, those would also be part of this target to the north, right, for the domestic well sampling program. So we're going to get those the work plan in. They'll start in March to sample. Then we'll get a report back talking to both domestic and the monitoring well events with some recommendations for additional monitoring wells in the areas where those domestic wells show an upward trend. And that pretty much summarizes the order. Are there any questions?
No question.
That concludes my presentation.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Lori Kemper. I'm the Assistant Executive Officer, and I want to direct your attention to your agenda packet 5-22 and 5-23, which is the status of actions for PG&E. This is the handout that the staff prepares for the monthly community advisory committee. I didn't make copies for the community tonight, but they saw this handout at the December community advisory committee meeting, and there have been a couple of updates to that, so I just wanted to use that to refer additional information to you. Last week, I signed an investigative order, a 13267 order, requiring that PG&E report to us on a couple of things related to some violations associated with the whole house water replacement program under the cleanup and abatement order that requires PG&E to provide replacement water. The first issue had to do with two indications last summer where the bottled water was tested and found to have hexavalent chromium at small levels, like 0.1 parts per billion, 0.2, that kind of range. And it was delivered in a couple of months during the summer. We received that report in the fall, in November, and we've asked PG&E, and PG&E has, prior to my signing the letter last week, PG&E had provided a letter to us saying they were going to institute a new program where they work with the two bottled water purveyors, Culligan and Sparkletts, to test the water before they serve it to the public. So that it requires some storage of water and using keeping track of the lots that come out of the system. And the investigative order requires that PG&E report on that program, that they include those results in their ongoing reporting to the board, and that they let us know when they implement that new program. The second issue required by the investigative order has to do with the actual whole house replacement water systems in the households, where PG&E did extensive testing on the ion exchange system showing that it removes hexavalent chromium, and then they also include reverse osmosis at the taps. And there are two systems that are installed and operating, and PG&E's testing has shown that while water leaves the ion exchange system at non-detect for hexavalent chromium, they have found some detections of chromium at the faucets after the reverse osmosis system. And so PG&E has also submitted a letter saying they are investigating potential sources, including piping and fixtures, and they're looking at all kinds of possibilities. And again, this investigative order requires PG&E to report all information that they gather as part of their own evaluation and investigation. And then, again, it was trace amounts of hexavalent chromium. That's shown here. The actual numbers are in here, I believe. So at or below 0.35, that was the highest number they found. But it's been has been one day and not the other, one system, not the other, of the reverse osmosis systems, because each of the households usually have two or three reverse osmosis systems at the individual taps in the bathroom or the kitchen. So that investigative order requires additional work and reporting by PG&E. The other issue that we've been dealing with the last couple months has been manganese, and I wanted to report to you, and this is item 3 in the second section under investigative and reporting orders. It's on the next second page. Under manganese plume investigation and cleanup, in November of 2012, PG&E began pumping out areas where manganese was high, downgrading of their in-situ system, and they are reinjecting it to dry wells in the unsaturated zone. This is part of a corrective action plan that the Water Board staff approved, so they are remediating manganese that went beyond the Century wells, but just north of the in-situ area. In addition, we held a technical meeting December 20th to talk about the issues of manganese west of the in-situ area, primarily, where individuals have been finding black water, and we've been measuring high concentrations of manganese quite a distance from PG&E's in-situ activity. And we held a meeting December 20th, and during that meeting and prior to that meeting, staff was aware that there were a number of monitoring wells that PG&E has that they were not measuring manganese in, because the requirement right now is just for them to measure manganese north of their in-situ system. And there were some wells that were already in the ground that we thought they could go ahead and start sampling manganese, analyzing for it in a number of wells near the in-situ, but kind of more cross-gradient. We also identified a number of locations that we felt there were gaps in the monitoring well network where PG&E could install additional monitoring wells near the in-situ to ensure that there was no manganese in some of these, again, sort of cross-gradient situations. So I signed an order on December 21st requiring PG&E to start analyzing for manganese in the existing wells right away and to give us a work plan to identify additional monitoring wells to be installed. And we are still talking about other data gaps and uncertainties related to manganese. We held a meeting last night from 5 to about 9, and we did not get through all the information that PG&E has. I mean, PG&E has a lot of data and a lot of information about their system, so we're going to be meeting again next week to gather further information. And I think that the next step in terms of sharing information with the public, because we promised the public we wanted to let them know what was going on with manganese, we don't have any definitive answers on why individual wells have recently had high hits of manganese. We're still investigating different ideas behind that or reasons. And because of the investigative order I signed December 21st, there is a work plan due in mid-February. And then, as Mike mentioned, there's another work plan due for the plume delineation February 22nd. And so what we'd like to do is have a week or two for our staff to review those work plans and then schedule a public meeting in mid-March at the Hinckley School where we can talk about those two work plans and any other information we have about manganese to bring the community up to date on those issues. And so that will happen before our March board meeting. Our March board meeting is going to be in Lake Arrowhead, but we'll try to schedule something before that. So that is how that is moving forward. There's a lot of information. And then lastly, today staff met with, and at last night's meeting, it was the USGS scientist was there, and he's here tonight, Dr. Uzbecki, and the community advisory committee, several of the members were there. And then this morning, the same group or similar group met again with PG&E and our scientists to talk about the background study. So just a quick update on that. PG&E had provided a plan about a year ago, presented it to the board. We were going to have it independently peer-reviewed. We did not pursue that very formal contract. We did get comments from Dr. Ian Webster, the Community Advisory Committee scientist, and from Dr. Uzbecki. And today's meeting was an opportunity for PG&E to ask questions of both of them and our board and our staff members, as well as the Community Advisory Committee members, but just to try to clarify some of the critiques they already received from the USGS and Ian. And I think the next plan is that PG&E will be revising their study plan based on those comments, and we would be looking, we're looking for ways to basically have the USGS conduct that study. So we'll continue to give you updates and the plan for that, and then there may also be an opportunity to get some other experts to review or oversee that work. So that's where that is. Any questions?
No. Thank you. Anything more on the executive options report?
No, that's the government.